Fantastic. Thanks for coming here this afternoon. 1 Samuel chapter number 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16. I do get to run Hoosier Hills Baptist Camp, and if I can be a help to you in that ministry, I get to preach there and would love to have you come. But this is really a lesson on Bible storytelling. It's part two, so if you were here for the first part, you should have been. You should have been. But 1 Samuel chapter 16, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to give a Bible story lesson, a miniature one, and then we're going to get into how to present the lesson. The first lesson was really on how to develop the lesson. I get in my Bible, I study it, I read it, I dissect it, I come with an outline, a proposition, what does God want me to do? But the second part of this lesson is really how do I actually act it out? How do I, you know, get in front of the kids and what do I say that's more of an acting type of thing? So let's take our Bibles, and I really believe, by the way, that Bible storytelling is different than storytelling. And I'm going to show that to you in a second. It is Bible storytelling, and I'll show that to you in a second. But let's take our Bibles, 1 Samuel chapter 16. Follow with me what the Bible says in verse number 4. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake and came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, Comest thou peaceably. So the Bible says that God told Samuel, go down to Bethlehem. So Bethlehem he went. And all of a sudden the elders of the city, they come out, they're like, oh no, the prophet's coming. You know why? Because a lot of times the prophet had some bad news. God was mad at what you're doing, and the prophet's coming to tell judgment. So all of a sudden the elders of the land said, Samuel, are you here? Are you here to tell judgment? I mean, come this peaceably. Yeah, don't worry, I'm coming peaceably. Oh, we're going to have a feast. We're going to have a good time. I want you to go get Jesse and go get his boys. We got something special to do. Well, they all knew. They had heard the rumors that King Saul lost his position. He disobeyed God. And rumors had spread everywhere that he was going to lose his kingdom. And so before you know it, they went running to Jesse's house. Jesse, the knock on the door came, and they got Jesse, and Jesse got his boys together. And I'm quickly getting over that scene and jumping to the next scene. And all of a sudden, there was Jesse's boy. Man, they felt big. There they all standing in front of them. They all knew what this was about. And the Bible says in verse number 6, and it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. So Samuel walks up. All right, buddy. What's your name? Eliab. Eliab? That's a weird name. Anyways, who named you? Oh, your mom. Okay, anyway. Eliab, you're a pretty tall guy. You seem, here, hold this boy. You seem pretty strong. And all right, Eliab, what's 2 plus 2?
I can imagine Eliab. He's like, 4.
Oh, you're smart, too. And you've been in charge of all the family. Looks like your Lord's boy. You know what? I'm pretty sure he's the one. I'm pretty sure. Let me just check. Lord, is Eliab supposed to be the next king of Israel? He's not. Whoops, sorry, buddy, not you. All right, who's next? Anyways, that's what Bible storytelling is. Bible storytelling is acting out the story, all right?
So that's what we're going to try to do here, and I'm going to go through a lot of different stories. This is actually presenting the lesson. Before we get into presenting the lesson, I got arrows on this one. There's 3 elements to preaching and teaching. This, to me, is fundamental. If you're doing devotional, if you're preaching to kids, if you're preaching a full-blown message, I have found that this is extremely helpful in a premise of what I'm doing. There's 3 parts to every single preaching and teaching that I do. Number one, there's an explanation of truth. There's an explanation of truth. What is the explanation of truth? The explanation of truth is the Bible. Here's our premise. Storytelling is not based on anything but our Bible is what we're doing. We're doing Bible storytelling. It's based upon the Bible. I want them to understand what the Bible says. There's a Bible truth. Number two, there's the illustration of truth. Now, for many people, what they'll do is they'll say, you know, Jesus is a door. And let's look over here. You see how this door is right here? And we can illustrate it by looking at a door. Or you can say, you know, one time I was getting on a plane and they shut the door, and you tell an illustration. It's pretty common. In Bible storytelling, I love it because the illustration is the story. I'm illustrating by acting out what they did and keeping their attention and showing them the truth by acting it out. So that's what the illustration is. But number 3, there's the application of the story. Please don't confuse that we think that, oh, all I'm doing is trying to, you know, impart information to kids. No, there's an application. There's decisions. There's choices. There's change. The Word of God is for transformation. So I want to take this premise and I apply it to Bible storytelling, because we can take these 3 things and we can get really 3 different people that are part of the lesson. I'll give that to you under word acting, but before I do that, let me say this. Presenting the Bible story. All right, it's time. I've studied. I'm ready with 1 Samuel chapter 16. I know the front. I know every part about it. I know it inside out, upside down. I've prayed about what God wants me to teach. My main truth that I'm going to get to is that man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. That's what I want to accomplish. Now, how do I actually do the presenting of the lesson? All right, so let's begin here. Presenting the Bible story, number one, or circle one, whatever it is, the authority. The authority. Refer back and forth to the Bible. Number one, underneath that, visually holding the Bible. And number two, verifiably encouraging the children to look back and forth in the Bible. I've worked with children for over 15 years. Please don't do this. I did this early. And an older lady, I remember preaching in Langsburg, Michigan. It started with 20 kids on that Sunday morning's revival meeting, ended with 72 kids coming to it. We had a room smaller than this. There was like 14 saved. It was an amazing time. God worked, and we were all said and done. And a lady, and I thanked her for it, named Sue Hicks, came up to me. She said, "Can I give you some help with your lesson?" I'm going to be honest. At the time, I was probably 24 years old. I thought, "You're going to give me help?" Man, it just grew from 22 to 70. And we were crammed in here. Souls were saved. And she said these words. She said, you do a good job teaching children. You really can capture their imagination. She said, but you read one verse at the beginning, and then you never touched your Bible again. She said, I grew up Catholic, and that's what they did to me. And I thought, man. And so since then, I've actually changed what I do. I actually, when I do Bible story time, I used to be, all right, let's read verse number 7, look on the high counsel of the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. That's what we're talking about. All right, let's begin. There was a guy named King Saul, and I would tell the whole lesson, and then at the very end, I go back to verse number 7. Now I've changed it. Now I want it to be, all right, let's take our Bibles out, kids. Now follow with me. We're going to get to verse number 7. Look down with me at verse number 1. Here's what the Bible says. And the Lord said to Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn? Okay, so here's what happens. King Saul was torn down as king. And I go in the story. And then I go back. All right, now look at verse number 2. I want them to see that what I'm giving them is from the Bible. And by the way, they can distinguish the imaginative elements from the factual elements because they can look down at their Bible. Look at what the Bible says. Look at what the Bible says. Look at what the Bible says. I want them to see the Bible. Do not be the person. Do not be the person that slaps one verse up there. At times, there's one verse, but don't make it the consistency of your life. There's one verse. Let the kids look at it. Look up at me. Look down at your Bible. Look up at me. This is part of Bible storytelling. It is different than storytelling. It's Bible storytelling. All right, number one, there's an authority. Number two, the acting. How do I act this out? Remember I told you, explanation, illustration, application. Explanation, illustration, application have three actors involved. Notice the first bullet point, the basics. There's a narrator, there's the actor, and there's the preacher. And how I pull these all together, the narrator is the one that is explaining the truth. I tell you, all right, so there was a guy named first there. I read the verse, all right? Let's see it. Let me see it right here. Verse number 1, and the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him? There's that narrator character. There's also, though, the actual actor. I'm going to act out the story. I'm not going to act out everything. If you've ever been to a play, they don't act out everything. They might tell you, the narrator might say what's going on. And that's what I'm going to do as a narrator. I will break away from the narrator and I will become the actual character. I will become David. I will become the Samuel, the prophet, as he's running up the hill. I will become the actor who is giving the illustration. And then number three is there's also the preacher. And the preacher is the one that applies. You see, don't forget that my goal is not to just simply impart truth. My goal is to pull the hearts towards the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe I want to persuade them. I believe in children's invitations. I believe in God speaking to their hearts. And so I want to break away. And there may be moments in the middle of the preaching that, you know, and all of a sudden he looked at him and he said, you know, he stood before Eliab and he said, Lord, is this the one? He's not. Okay, I'm sorry. Oh, where's that Lord? Oh, you see. I'm so sorry. God sees something in you. And you know, kids, what does God see in your heart? That's a different person. That wasn't the actor. That wasn't the narrator. That was the applier of truth. What does God see in your heart? If you were standing there and God was going to pick someone, would God have picked what's in your heart to be the next king of Israel? See, there's an applier of the message. Okay, so there's three people here, but now let's get into some aspects of acting. First of all, I learned this a long time ago in speech class. There's something called a dramatic V. This is important. It's actually speech elements here. There's a dramatic V. Okay, so if you imagine a piece of tape, and the dramatic V can be on the floor, or the dramatic V can be this way as well, visually. When you are acting at a story, you want to place characters some direction. You don't want to have conversations like this. You don't want to have conversations like this. You want to have conversations like this, all right? So there's Samuel, and Samuel says, "All right, Eliab, you look like a pretty big guy." And so he's pointing. There's a V right there. There's one branch of the V. And then when I'm going to switch to the other character, I'm on the other branch of the V. And he says, I stopped my brother from drowning one time, and I'm pretty good at what I do. And there's a conversation that happens. By the way, sometimes this V can happen in a sense where there's a little girl looking up at a lady. I talk about this in the story of Naaman. And the V happens like this. She said, "I would to God." And she looks down the V this way. So the V is actually like this. And so you want to place characters on this. The conversations, you don't want it to be that, Jesus and Nicodemus are talking. There was Jesus, and Jesus was talking to Nicodemus. And a few seconds later, there's Jesus talking to Nicodemus. A few seconds, Jesus is talking this way. And it loses where they're at. You really want a direction. It doesn't mean you're the exact same place, but you want a direction. You want a switching of a role. And the way that happens, at least in my mind, is my brain, at least, I think it happens, I literally flip over that I feel like I'm inside of that guy. I don't know, I'm not saying in a weird way, but I'm like, I can see myself, I'm talking right now. I can see Eliab. I don't know if you guys can, but I can see Eliab, and I'm talking to Eliab. There's a dramatic V going on. Let me give you something else here. Number two, the attention aspects of high voice versus low voice. What I mean by this is I've been in a lot of children's programs where they think louder is better. Louder is better. But can I tell you something? I just did it right there, okay? So I was at a certain tone this entire lesson, and all of a sudden when I stray from the regular tone, that's when I'm going to get your attention. I might be right here, and all of a sudden we really need to think about. So the idea is this, that you should have a tone of teaching and preaching and giving the story the lesson, but really when you want to draw emphasis, you need to break away either by getting loud or by getting soft from it. Now, my personality, I'm going to get soft. My lesson will be high keel the entire time. It'll be, "And there he was, and this will happen." All of a sudden, when it's time to ask the question, "What would you have done?" it's going to get very quiet and still in that moment. I'm breaking away. There's got to be a vocal change from the lesson, from the intensity, from whatever's going on in the acting illustration, a vocal change there. And so oftentimes, we'll think that the way to work with kids is full throttle, full throttle, full throttle, full throttle, the entire lesson. All right, let's bow our heads and close our eyes. And that's not true. Storytelling is just like our regular conversation. There's going to be highs and lows throughout. Number four here, facial expression. Dramatic is funny. Realistic is dramatic. Dramatic is funny and realistic is dramatic. What do I mean? If you were going to be a guy that was sad, all right, so in the story of Naaman, the Bible says that a king gets a letter and he begins to rent his clothes. And so I portray this king was sad. I don't want it to be really, I don't want it to be like serious. This is not the serious moment of the lesson that the king rent his clothes. So I'm going to be dramatic in it. I'm going to overdo it, and it'll be funny. There's the king, and he sits down, he opens up the letter, and he reads what's happening. And all the, what is this, a death threat? And all of a sudden, he takes me. And I don't want it to be a serious moment. I want it to be a goofy moment. But if I did want it to be serious, if I do want to be serious, I'm going to be realistic in it. When I'm realistic, it actually will portray the idea of serious to it. If I sat there and he opened up this thing and he looked at it, and how would he really cry? I don't see a king really, I see a real king is open up and what are we going to do? All of a sudden, there's a serious tone to it. And so what I'm saying in storytelling, sometimes I want it to be funny. Sometimes I want it to be goofy. And if I want it to be goofy and I want it to be funny, it's going to be over the top. It's going to be really dramatic. But if I want it to be serious, I'm going to have to be realistic in it. All right, next bullet point. your body language. I don't know if there's any part of the acting part that is more important than what is your body portraying. Most of the time, Bible storytelling is, as I mentioned in last class, is I read a verse and I explain the verse, and I read the next verse and I explain the verse. If I was doing it, it would sound something like this in verse number 6. And it came to pass when they were come that he said, they looked at Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. And so what happens in Bible storytelling, we think we're telling a story, and what we'll do is, all right, so what happened was, and we'll just re-explain it, what happened was all the boys lined up, and all, you know, maybe even from tallest to shortest, David wasn't there, he was off in the field, and all of a sudden there comes a prophet come walking up, and really what happened is you are just retelling, there comes a prophet walking up and they're standing right there, and you are not giving yourself over to it. Everything has to do with becoming the character, and becoming the character has to do with body language. You could communicate unbelievable amounts through your body. You could communicate fear. You could communicate courage. You could communicate arrogance. You could communicate pride. You could communicate sadness. Every emotion is communicated through our bodies. And then really, how do I do this? Now, some of us, perhaps, we've done this before, maybe second nature. Some of us, we have to take a time and think, what would it look like to be scared? What would it look like to be scared? Do I want to be scared like I just surprised someone around the corner? Boom! Ah! Everybody goes laughing and whatnot. That's not the scared I want to portray when Moses is approaching this burning bush. It's a fearfulness of a trepidation. So perhaps when Moses comes up, he's turning, he's walking, maybe takes a little step forward, and I'm not saying, I don't even have to say, you know, Moses was kind of trepid, and Moses was trepid, and then he had courage, and then he kind of doubted himself, and then he really, no, everything was communicated with the body language. And actually, they were communicated in complete silence. He could say, and there was Moses, he saw that bush, and all of a sudden he heard this voice that said, you're on holy ground, and okay. And he's looking around trying to figure out if anybody else is here. And everything is communicated through his body language. Every story is going to be different. Absolutely every story is going to be different. But we have to take it and pull it into our bodies. Number 3, eye contact. Eye contact. I have said this several times that the two most important things to bring a story to life, the absolute two most important things, is the conversations in the story and the eye contact in the story. Number 1 is the conversations, but number 2 right on the heels of that is the eye contact, because the eye contact convinces you that you are looking at somebody. I've seen people have conversations, and he looked and he said, surely the Lord's anointed is upon him. Well, that was me addressing the crowd. You know, there's something along that's me addressing the crowd. Really, what happens is you've got to look at that person in the eyes in the storytelling sense. Eye contact, where my eyes go, is unbelievable. And so people say, did you have a good time? I said, I don't know. The kids have a good time. I would say, I don't know. I had a good time. I lost myself in the story. And I'm acting the story, and then I stop the story and address the crowd. In fact, when I preach to kids, I don't even pay attention to what they're doing. I just know they'll watch. They'll enjoy it. They'll have a good time. But when I'm talking to them directly, I'm looking at them in the eyes. But then I get back to the story. I'm looking at the characters. So I'm going to look at the places. There's the little girl, and she's looking, having a conversation, and she looks at her. And where my eyes go are going to be important. She looks up at her, and she says, you know, if he would have been, you know, there in Samaria, you know, he could have, you know, he really could have, you know, okay, was she there? Was she there? Or was she there? I mean, how tall is she? How big? Where's the communication of? I don't have to say, well, she was probably 3'4", and she was probably about 5'7". No, there she was, and she looked up at the same spot, basically, and said, you know, I personally think that, I mean, there in Samaria, he could help him, he could. And she looks down at him, her eyes, everything has to do with the eyes. By the way, when I talk about like Jonah and the whale. I love that. Jonah and you can communicate things, and all of a sudden Jonah got thrown overboard, and there was the seaman or the boatman on the boat there, and they're watching. They're saying, look at Jonah. And all of a sudden their eyes got really big, and there's Jonah. They're everything calling out. Now watch. I'm not in water. I'm not in water. I'm standing up, and I don't have to be going, but I communicated with my eyes that there's some shadow, and all, you know, the eyes are everything in the story. And so where you look in the story, really, you don't want to look at the kids when you're actually telling the story. You want to look at the characters throughout that. The eye contact. Letter, number, bullet number, wherever we're at, get lost in the story.
If there's anything you're going to hear, if anything you need to hear is this, you cannot Bible story tell without dying to yourself and losing yourself. You have to let yourself go. I'm not saying it to be crazy. I'm not saying some people, when they let themselves go, they become wild and eccentric and you know, it has no semblance to what they're doing. But I am saying you're going to have to let yourself go. You have to get lost in the story. You have to, in your little brain, in my little brain, I have to become David and become Samuel and become the little maid and become Goliath. And, you know, when Goliath is standing there and he comes stomping out there and he sees the valley of Elah and he sees this little runt over here and he has the guys and he sees all these cowards. And in my mind, I have a field. There's an arena. And, oh, you coward, you send me this guy down here. I'm going to walk down there. I'm going to take his hand. I mean, he is this big, thunderous guy. And maybe I'm able to slow down his language because he's so big, and maybe he lumbers a whole lot more. I'm not sure. But either way, you've got to see it in your eyes. You've got to lose yourself in the story. The last point here is, I've said this already, you have to become the characters. You have to become the characters. Now, I want to help you with this. You don't have to become every single character. In the story of this story right here, there's Eliab, there's Shammah, there's other ones there that I can't think of, Abinadab, there's all these, there's, you know, six or seven kids, and there's David, and there's Jesse, and there's the elders of the town. And when I started the story, I'm not acting out the elders. They don't have personality or character. I'm not even maybe going to act out Jesse in a unique way. I'm not going to act out maybe Abinadab. Who were the big three? In my mind, it was Samuel, it was Eliab, and a little bit later, it was David. So those guys are going to be the ones I'm going to focus, I'm going to become, I'm going to immerse myself in. The rest of them, you can say, and here came the elders. Are you here for good reasons? Yeah, it's all right. You guys can quit your bellyache and everything's going to be fine. And then he comes up and he starts to talk, but then Eliab's got a personality. I mean, he's somebody in particular, and so is Samuel. And also when David comes running up, he's probably 12 years old, 11 years old, he's going to have a whole different disposition. He comes running up and he's going to come running up over the hill, and all of a sudden the whole city's there, and he's looking for his dad. Dad, everybody's here. Yeah, son, it's a special day. Is it my birthday? No, it's not your birthday, son. He's here to anoint a king. What's that got to do with me? We think it might be you, son. Okay. And he starts to go walk on, whatever it be. You've got to become the characters, right? So last but not least, there's the authority of the Word of God. There's the acting. But number three, there is the application. Okay. And here's a great burden. I remember one time, how long do I got, brother?
9 minutes.
Okay. I remember one time I was preaching, and I got asked to preach for a special bus kid something or other. And I remember I got about 35 minutes, and I was preaching on the story of the Philippian jailer. And I was talking about Lydia, and I was talking about the demonic woman, and I was talking about the Philippian jailer. And I got so lost in the story that all of a sudden I could see by the way things were changing in the room that there was, and I looked at the clock, and I had 3 minutes left, and I didn't even get to the gospel. It was one of the heartbreaks of my, I mean, all of a sudden, boom, I'm switching over. So, all right, so let's just jump ahead. I got so lost in the story that I forgot what I was there for. You know, the imagination is the illustration of the story. The acting out is the illustration of the story. And how many times you've been in a regular service with a pastor or something like that, and he gets lost. And it was funny, it was good, it was enjoyable, but he gets so lost in the illustration that you got like a 30-second truth at the beginning and a 30-second... It's a mistake we all can make. We can get lost in it. It's part of it. We can get too far involved. Really what this is it comes back to my application, all right? So number one here, bullet number one, let the story and the characters speak the Bible and the truths. Let the story and the characters, they're teaching the lesson. They are teaching a lesson for you. Then you break away and apply the truths. You break away and apply the truths. So right here again, the Bible says that they're past Jesse. I'm going to speed this up. They're past Eliab and Abinadab and Shammah. And all of a sudden, here came David. And David comes in front of him. And so I'm going to act the story. David comes and David walks up and says, Sir Dad said you wanted to see me. He said, yes, son. Actually, I'm here to pick the next king of Israel. And I thought it was your brother's, but I need to ask the Lord if it's you. Lord, is this boy the next king of Israel? Jumping Jehoshaphat? You're the one, you know, and there's that point in the message, but all of a sudden you can stop and you say, you break away from the story. I can even stay in the same pose. I break away from the story and say, you know, kids, but what was it about David's heart that was different about Eliab's heart? What was that? What was it? In fact, you can actually see it back in verse number 7.
He said, man looketh on the outward. There was this boy David. He's only 11 years old. Outwardly, he would never amount to something. Here was Eliab. He was big and strong, and he was in charge of the family. He looked like he was going to accomplish something. But you know what? God sees something. And right now, I'm not in story. I'm way off of that. That was my illustration. Now I'm addressing them. God saw something in David's heart that God said, that's a boy I know I can use. God chose the future direction of David for the rest of his life, what he would do based upon what his heart was like as an 11-year-old boy. Let me ask you, sweetheart. Let me ask you, buddy. What's your heart like? You know, outward, I can guess. Maybe the Lord will use him. Maybe the Lord will use him. Maybe the Lord will use him. You know what the truth is? Mr. Chris has no clue who God's going to use. But you and God can know based upon your heart. What's your heart like? You see, that comes way earlier when I knew exactly what God wants me to preach to these kids. What does God want me to give to these kids in the actual application of the truth? And so I break away from the story to apply these truths. Number three, look for stillness. Look for stillness. Maybe this is more of a, that's just my style, but my lessons are goofy and laughing, and there's funny moments throughout there. But when it's time, when I want the Holy Spirit to work in their hearts, I'm looking for everything to be still and quiet in their hearts, and letting the Holy Spirit with that still small voice work in their hearts. And I guess what I'm trying to exhort is there's so many times we can get so carried away in such a fun way of teaching people that we forget that that wasn't the goal. The goal wasn't just to demonstrate a lesson. The goal was to give truth that God might speak to their hearts. All right, and last but not least here, prompt their thinking, and the Holy Spirit will prompt their heart. There's three parts to the message. There's the explanation of the truth. There's the explanation of the truth. And the explanation is that I take the passage and I say, here's what happened with the Philistines. Here's what happened with Goliath. Here's what happened with David. Here's what happened. And then I kind of actually tie the explanation and the illustration together by making it fun and colorful and bringing it alive. But the goal is not to just simply they walk away and say, we learned about David today. We learned about Goliath today. We learned about the anointing of David today. I don't want that. I want it to be, you know what, Mom? God spoke to my heart today. God spoke to my heart today. And the idea is this. I'm going to prompt their thinking, but fully trusting the Lord. God, I don't want it to be that I just imparted knowledge. I want it to be that, God, you worked in this service for these kids, and the Holy Spirit spoke to their hearts. All right? Actually, because we started a few minutes early, I actually got through that pretty quick. So let me ask this question here. If I missed anything, or if anybody has any questions at all on the lessons today. Anybody at all? Going once. Either that was really good or was really bad, if there's no questions at all. One of those two. All right? Any questions, comments, concerns on Bible storytelling? All right. I do need to say this. Matthew Phillips is going to listen to this later. He told me he would, and I told him that I would give a shout-out on the recording. So if you're editing, do not take out Matthew Phillips' name. He was part of Faith Baptist Church. But I would invite you. I do run Hoosier's Baptist Camp, and we don't have a really cool display table because the guy that does that for me went to Crown College to recruit, and we had a conflict. And I said, I got three brochures to bring up here. So I got a stack of brochures up there. If I can help you to answer any question about the ministry, I'd be glad to. Yes, sir. Well, I was in evangelism, so I get to rehearse everything I do 10 and 15 and 20 times. But on brand new stories, I wouldn't do it out loud, but I do rehearse it in my mind. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I do. With brand new ones, with ones that are absolutely brand new, I've never taught this before, in my mind, I'll be thinking through what's this guy like and what's this lady like and what would be a funny statement here and you know, what would be the reaction to this right here. So I will do a rehearsal. It would not be completely like, well, you just read a story and you just throw it out there. I do it, rehearse it in my mind. Yes, sir. Anyone else? Yes, sir. I have never stayed away from any story. There's actually some very sensitive stories in the Word of God, but there's not hardly, you know, you can be careful with them with kids, obviously. You can be honest. There's times when something's super sensitive. You might be talking about something like an affair or something like that, or adultery or something like that, and you can say, now kids, this is something we don't like to talk about it, and maybe I break away completely from the silliness and say, hey, you know, but what happened here was a terrible sin. Maybe that's happened in your life. Maybe you've seen that between your mom and dad. But God hates this. This is not what God wants you to do, but this is what happened in this story. And so I feel like on really sensitive things, I can really break. I really don't want to make light of it. I can break away from that, address it real quick, and then get back into the story there. Anyone else? All right. Thank you for coming. 2 minutes early. Wow.
What a gracious speaker. All right. Thank you so much. You are dismissed.